Yes, welcome. I'm so glad you guys are with us this morning. I'm Pastor Ryan. My wife and I are the lead pastors of this great church, and I'm sitting next to Faustin, our generation's pastor and preacher man extraordinaire. Hey. Well done last week,
Thank
by the
you.
Way.
Thank you.
I was driving back from vacation listening to your message, and it was... Hey. It was good.
All I can say is Jesus.
I need more of the Holy Spirit after that. And I'm sitting here, obviously, on the couch, and you were just right over there about giving. And, you know, one of the things that I appreciate, and you were talking a little bit about last week, just kind of your experience with your parents and telling them to be faithful. Mm-hmm. And don't worry. Like, when your kids kind of get crazy for a hot second, just keep loving them. And I just remember what my dad gave me. And one of the things out of a lot of stuff that my dad handed down for me was the idea of the tithe. Mm. And from a young boy, I remember my dad, every time I got money, setting a portion of that aside as, son, we're going to give to the Lord. And I just want to encourage you moms and dads that make generosity and specifically the tithe a part of what we do as a family.
So good.
That we as a family give, and we give to the church that we're a part of, not just, you know, I'm going to give some over here and some over here, but it's we're committed to the church. Yes. We're committed to the church that we're a part of, and it teaches a number of things to your kids. It teaches commitment. It teaches setting aside the first for the Lord, and it invests in the house that God has called you to be.
Yeah. So
and I know your parents did that with you, too.
Always. My dad made it a point because he was trying to draw something out of my heart. He was a condition of the heart. He always emphasized, it's not about the money, it's about your heart. If you put God first, then he becomes first in every area of
your
life. And especially the area of money, because he knew.
Oh, dude, I didn't want to give. When my dad first started telling me, I'm like, how does this work, Dad?
Exactly.
This doesn't feel like it works. You're telling me that I'm going to give to the Lord and he's going to help me?
Right.
I don't know. I feel.
But
and
he
watch.
Does.
Over all this time, the Lord has been faithful.
Always faithful. Always faithful.
I have vacations that I shouldn't be able to have because of the faithfulness of God.
Man,
and so
it?
When you put him first, it's amazing what he opens. Well, hey, I'm so glad that we get this opportunity. And we have been in a series of decisions. And this is number 8 in the series. And it's called Better Together. And I just want to let you know, in 3 weeks, we're going to be making a massive announcement to the church that I believe, first of all, we're going to be so excited about, but it's going to shift, and we're going to see so many things happen that God is going to move in mighty ways with us and with you. So get ready. So you got to stay with us, because we're going to be finishing up the series, and we're going to be culminating with an announcement that I'm pretty pumped about. So now you get to buckle in as you're now trying to figure out, what's the announcement? Don't worry, we're going to get there. But today, we're going to spend some time in the Word, and I want to talk about relationships. As the title of my message is, Choose Relationship, as we're talking about decisions. And, you know, all throughout Scripture, it's been amazing to watch that you see this idea of choosing relationship. And I think it's so, what I love about Jesus and what I love about what he's done and what God the Father is constantly doing throughout Scripture, and that's why I love the Bible as a whole, not just with the New Testament, but going back and watching all the way, is his commitment to people, his commitment to relationship. And even with Adam and Eve in the garden from the very beginning, just for the mere fact that he created them to be there, shows that he's a God of relationship.
Yes.
Of the cosmos that he created a man and a woman to be in the garden so that he could have relationship with them.
So good.
And I love that. And I love even when they blew it, even when they made the greatest mistake, and I've already told the Lord, when I get to heaven, I'm going to punch Adam and Eve in the face. But then I realized that I would probably have done the same. But what I love about God is even when they made the biggest mistake that changed history, but really honestly paved the way for Jesus to come.
Mm-hmm.
But he went after them. He chose relationship.
So good.
He was the one that actually offered the first sacrifice to cover them with the skin of the animal
because
they felt ashamed of what they have done.
Man,
and I love even how Jesus went after Peter when he blew it. Right? Peter denies Jesus, and Jesus goes after him with relationship, restores him, and still comes after him in relationship. This is the God that we talk about. He's not the God that lays out all the laws and just leaves man to his own devices. He's always seeking relationship and paving the way for relationship. I think not only that, but you look at the story of Ruth. It's such a beautiful story of how when her husband died, she could have gone anywhere, but she chose relationship. And that's kind of what where we're headed today. Is that in the midst of all that's going on in the world, I think it's important that we don't just choose a stance, but we choose relationship. Because when you choose relationship, you're actually engaging in the very thing that God has created us for.
That's so good.
He's created us for relationship. And I love, that's a very broad word, I love, but take a look at COVID in this moment, that the things that we have kind of just taken for granted, coming together as a church, actually now we have to be intentional. And I think sometimes we kind of get, we believe that there's relationship just because of proximity, but I think if we utilize this moment to recognize that we actually need to engage in relationship, not just proximity.
No, because that was a luxury we thought we always will have.
Yeah.
Nothing is certain, but this teaches us, no, we got to fight for it, especially if you value it. You've got to fight for those things that you value.
And I think particularly right now, we've gotten so used to seeing people that we thought that there was relationship, and actually this is now the time where we have to engage it, be intentional with it, and this is actually going to cause us to be better because we're being more intentional. All right,
so good.
So I want to start with a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and this is Solomon writing in his book where he spends all of his time kind of talking about the journey that he's been on, and he kind of comes to some conclusions as he writes Ecclesiastes, a phenomenal book, but really interesting. As Solomon, who is the wealthiest man alive in the world, and they say even ever. And he's experimented with everything that his money could buy, and he writes a book on the conclusion that he comes to. But what I love about in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, and this is the verse that we're going to kind of be starting this message today with, and it says this: two are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other person can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I want to spend a little bit of time this morning on a particular story in the Bible, in the Old Testament, with Jonathan and David. David was in line to be king. Jonathan was actually the son of Saul. He was in line to be king. So you have these two young men, as David is a shepherd boy, comes from nothing, and is anointed to be the successor of Saul, but actually that's Jonathan's position. And the Bible kind of gives us a snapshot about this relationship. And it's this relationship that I want to take a moment this morning and unpack as we talk about choosing relationship. It starts off as we see David on an errand. Honestly, in obedience to his father, he shows up at the battle of the Philistines, where the Philistines are basically intimidating and causing havoc in Israel. Yeah. And Saul is trying to portray himself as the king, and we know he does a hot mess at it. But as he is there, none of the Israelites want to fight the Philistines' champion, which is Goliath. The Bible describes him as over 9 feet tall, from a child born into becoming a warrior. So he has spent his life fighting. David shows up on the scene, and you may know the story well. In obedience to his father, is there to help his brothers bring some cheese and check out how things are going. And he basically stands up and goes, I'll kill that guy. I've watched God do miracles. And you see David step onto the scene. And what I love about this is David has this incredible battle, and the Bible says he cuts off Goliath's head, and he grabs it, and he's walking, and he walks to Saul's tent, and there's Jonathan, and there's Saul, and Saul talks to him for a second. Where did you come from? How did you do this? And what I love is that David has no pedigree. David didn't come from a long line of warriors. David came from God. He didn't have to have all of this stuff to make him okay. He was okay because God said he was okay. And I think even right now, as you're thinking about where you're at and you feel everything shaking around you, and you're looking for something to make you feel good about yourself. And what I love about David is he didn't have to have a pedigree, or he didn't have to have somebody tell him he was okay. He allowed his heavenly Father to declare who he was. And he stepped into that moment. So here we are. Jonathan's there. And what I love about this moment is the Bible describes, as David is talking, something happens to Jonathan. And in 1 Samuel 18, this is what it says. After David was finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son. So now you have David, who Samuel the prophet has anointed to be the successor. And now you have the successor, Jonathan. So now they're meeting for the first time. There was an immediate bond between them, for Jonathan loved David. From that day on, Saul kept David with him and wouldn't let him return home. And Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David, together with his tunic, sword, and bow, and belt. I want to give 3 points this morning as we unpack that moment. The first one is Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. You know what's amazing, Faustin, is Jonathan chose covenant versus opportunity.
So good.
And the Bible, all throughout the Bible, we have this word covenant. And if you want to just boil it down to its simple common denominator, it's faithfulness. It's an agreement between two people and God. And it says, I will be faithful. And Jonathan makes a decision that instead of taking opportunity as, hey, I know that you might have been called to be king, but I'm actually the one who should be king. I mean, this is the moment where he could show David who's boss, and he chooses covenant. He chooses faithfulness. So he chooses relationship over opportunity and position.
So good.
And I love this story because right now everybody is trying to find position. We're trying to find what we can get out of relationships. And Jonathan says, I'm going to step in. And first of all, it says he makes a covenant. He makes an agreement with David, which is astronomical. Here's the one who actually is the heir of Saul. And he says, I'm going to make a covenant with you, and I'm going to be faithful to you.
Wow.
And I think in a day and age right now where nobody knows how to be faithful, what I love about this story is the faithfulness of two men for one another. That God has, and that's the idea of covenant, is that I say, listen, God has brought us together. And I make the covenant with God that I'm going to stay faithful to you. I'm not going anywhere. I got your back. We're going to stand together. And so that's good. What's amazing about this is that covenant is the structure of faithfulness. That no matter what I'm staying, no matter what, I'm staying because it's not about me and not about you, but it's about God.
So
I'm making a commitment. God is going to empower me to stay faithful to this relationship. And what I love about it is that everybody is like, well, you know, this person's not enough for me and they're not doing enough. But this covenant is, it first starts with God.
So good.
So I'm going to be faithful even if you aren't. You're not perfect. You don't have everything that I need. And I think it's actually important because God's the one that empowers me to be what I'm supposed to be in the relationship.
So good. So good. I love that.
Anyways, I'm
so good. You're preaching. You are preaching, brother.
God inspired and equipped me versus me trying to figure it out. So if this is a covenant relationship, yes. He gives me the ability to stay faithful.
Yes.
And then God brings people together in community. He calls us to work it out and stay together because that was his intent, to show the world real love. Mm-hmm. This is what it looks like.
Yes.
And why is covenant relationship mm-hmm. between people in the community, in the church, why is it important that we get in these relationships of faithfulness?
Yes.
Because it shows the world that that's how God communicates to us. Mm. He made a covenant relationship with us. Matthew 18, 19, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything, you ask my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. Covenant relationship brings about power, which means we got to work it out.
Always.
Because the sake of working it out means there's power to be released in the world. Mm. So we see the mission, which means that we believe we're better together. We choose relationship,
yes.
but not just relationship that's convenient, but relationship for the sake of the mission, which is to reach people. We got to work this out.
So
because we need the world to see what real faithfulness looks like.
So good. Man, you're
because the world needs to see. If I'm saying Jesus is in charge of my life, they've got to see what faithfulness looks like.
Yes.
I have to demonstrate. Doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect.
No.
Doesn't mean I'm going to bat 100. But he calls us to be imitators of him
yes.
as dearly loved children, which means if Jesus made the covenant with us, his covenant never changes.
Said.
He is faithful to us that even when we mess it up, he keeps coming back. And I find that we're so easy to dismiss people.
Mm.
We're so easy to dismiss the people that God brings in our life.
Mm. Mm.
And I think we've got to recognize that this moment here, Jonathan, he had every right to be jealous of David.
Yes.
But by the way, without Jonathan, there would be no David.
No. No.
Without, because everyone's like, well, I want to be David. I want to
yes.
be the one that's the guy that's in charge and I'm awesome.
Yeah.
But without Jonathan, there would be no David because Jonathan
took
the stance
yes.
to commit to David.
Mm-hmm.
And that is amazing.
That is amazing.
That's the covenant relationship.
You know what he tells me is Jonathan had every intent that he was going to be about David.
Yeah.
I'm going to serve David. I'm going to love. It's not about my interests. It's about the other person's interests.
Yeah.
I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure your interests are met.
Wow.
And I'm not looking at me. I'm looking at you. And every time we take the position or we're not taking our eyes off of us and we start looking at other people, then we become faithful. Like any marriage, when you come together, if you start looking at your spouse as, hey, I'm here to serve you. I'm here. It's not you meeting my needs. It's me doing everything I need to do to make sure your needs are met.
Yeah.
Then I stay faithful.
But I just want to say, Fawson, too, that's really good. It's not just between husbands and wives.
No, it's every relationship.
Like, I believe it's covenant relationships that God puts us in church. I
mm-hmm.
believe that it's people that God puts us together with that it first starts with God, right?
Yes.
So he's the common denominator,
mm-hmm.
and he's the one that empowers us to stay in covenant.
Yes.
All right, so point number two. Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David together with his tunic, sword, bow, and belt.
Mm.
Point number two is honor. We give what we value.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus demonstrated his honor for his Father by valuing him even over his own life.
So
Philippians 2, verse 8 says this, he humbled himself in obedience to death, to God. Are you humbled himself to God? He humbled himself
in obedience to God
mm-hmm. and died. Wow, I'm out of control. Died. Wow, I'm still having a hard time. And died as a criminal's death on the cross.
Yes.
So, and then John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave.
So good.
You see this connection with covenant, with this idea of honor. And honor is not just, I honor you.
It's not
you
lip know, service.
You're the greatest.
That's right.
Oh, I just want to tell you, brother, you're just so good. You see here that actually honor is connected to what we have value in our heart for.
So good.
So Jonathan... And even Romans chapter 12 says, don't pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other.
So
Jonathan gave three things primarily. The first one was he gave David his robe and tunic. I'm putting those together. He honored David with his position.
Mm.
The robe and tunic were a symbol of Jonathan's position.
Yes.
And Jonathan chose honor, relationship over position. So he honored David with giving him his position.
That's awesome.
The father gave the son, remember in the prodigal son, he gave him a robe as a sign of belonging and covenant, covering over interrogation.
Yeah.
Right now in our society, everybody wants to interrogate. We want to point out everybody's faults.
Yeah.
And what this is actually, I know that you have faults.
Yeah.
But I am giving you position that no matter what, I love you.
Yes.
That's covenant.
That is covenant.
So when you see what Jesus did, he calls us sons and daughters.
Mm.
He has given us his position,
yes,
so that now we cannot be moved. And that covenant of honor, he honored us by giving us what he honored, which was his position.
So good.
So you think about that in relationship. We now stand in a place of honor. He gave us what he had so that we could become honored he honored us by giving us what he honored, his position.
That's so good.
The second one is that Jonathan gave David his sword and bow. He gave the honor of his strength.
Mm.
This was a big deal because just two chapters before this moment, the Bible says that there was only two swords in all of Israel. Saul and Jonathan.
Mm.
So this sword was not just a careless piece of armor.
Mm.
This sword actually Jonathan fought his greatest battle with. This sword meant everything. This represented his strength.
Mm.
And he honored David by giving him his strength.
So good.
When was the last time you actually gave somebody your work?
Mm. Wow.
That you were willing to labor for them freely.
Wow.
We're always looking for angles, and Jonathan gave him the strength, the honor of his strength. Now, here's what's crazy, is Jesus did the same for you and I.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us the Holy Spirit freely.
Mm-hmm.
With no strings attached.
Mm.
The Bible says that when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And from that moment, he began to do supernatural works.
So
he could hold that back, only give it to a few.
Yeah.
Oh, if you're really good,
that's right,
then I'm going to give it to you.
That's right.
But here, he gives us his strength,
yes,
even when we don't deserve it.
No.
He gives us his strength even when we might miss use it.
Mm. Wow.
David in that moment could have taken the sword and plunged it into Jonathan, and I know that's really intense, but listen, we're talking about a day and age where that kind of stuff is real. I need to make sure you're not going to take what God says is mine. And Jonathan honored it and gave it to David.
Wow.
And then David didn't have to use it to fight against Jonathan.
Mm.
He used it to fight against what God wanted to do in the kingdom.
So good.
The third thing that he gives is his belt. He gave the honor of his wealth. That we would be those that use what we have to bless. We go out of our way with our time, treasure, and talent. But you know what's amazing is Jesus did that for you and I.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 8:9 says, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. And I just, I'm amazed by this relationship and this moment that Jonathan steps in. David hasn't done anything for Jonathan.
Yeah.
So by the way, covenant is not based on two people agreeing. That's contract. Which defines separation.
Yes.
But covenant says how we determine to stay together. And Jonathan honors David with his sign of wealth, which was his belt.
Yes.
But David hasn't even done anything to deserve it yet.
He doesn't even know David.
And yet, he gives it freely.
Wow.
And I think so many times we want to manipulate with our money, or we're looking for, when we do something for somebody, we need them to respond or clap or, wow, there's no one like you. Or we want them to like put on Instagram, look what so-and-so did. And then we get disappointed and then we stop doing it. But covenant relationship is that I take what I have. And by the way, it may not, so maybe you don't have a lot of money. But let me just paint a little practical picture here. Okay, so the Jacobsons let my wife and I use their vehicle for our trip, and super generous.
Yes.
And it's a Cadillac. It was awesome, and we loved it as a family. But I determined, like, I may not be able to even pay or give them any money back for this gift of generosity. So first of all, they gave it, no strings attached. Hey, take it, drive it like you own it. Like, you know, you're like, I got to be careful. You know, and he's like, bro, don't worry, it's all good. Like, that's covenant relationship. Yeah. But back in return, I may not be able to pay for it, but I returned it better than I got it.
Yes.
Right? So pull all the mats out, scrub them.
Yes.
Not just, well, we're going to throw some gas in it and we're just going to give it back and just, oh, thanks, bro. Like, but he gave with no strings attached.
Yes.
But when you're talking about, there are ways that you can actually give that don't have to be monetary, but it can be your strength.
Yes.
It can be your time.
Yes.
And so it took me all day. And I didn't return it going, oh, well, unless they notice, you know. But although I did point
you
it
did,
out.
Yeah. Because I was there.
I did point it out.
No, but you know, the crazy thing about what you just said is the way they showed you love compelled you to show love back. It wasn't, if it was a contract thing, then I would just stick to the contract. You said,
okay,
it's like
it says right here, I've got to return it.
That's right.
I'm just going to do, well, that's what we do with rental cars.
That's what I was about to say. That's what I did. So he gave you to go on vacation with this car. I rented a car to go on vacation. And when we were taking it back, I'm looking at, what do they need?
Fill it up with gas.
Fill it with gas.
That's it.
And I was like, hey, should we wash it? My wife said, nah, it's not in the contract.
Nah.
I was like, all right, take it back. But you were compelled because of love.
Yeah.
Because
that's
the way,
good.
Same way it was shown to you, you felt like, man, I need to show it back with whatever I have. And it was appreciated.
Wow.
So good.
Okay. You made the better point.
No, you're so
good.
Though.
You made the better point.
So
it's, let's just say it started with the Jacobsons and it ended with the Maloofs. All right. So let's go into the third one as we're wrapping up here and in our last few minutes together. So this is in 1 Samuel 20. This is now Jonathan talking to David and David talking to Jonathan about David knows that Saul is trying to kill him. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, my dad has not shared any of this with me. Mm. And David's like, that's because he knows that we are in covenant. We love each other. and David's telling this and Jonathan's like, no way, bro. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to go back. We're going to have some meals together.
Yeah.
And if he freaks out and asks where you are, I'm going to tell him the story. You went back home. And we'll see how it all turns out. And then they've got this whole elaborate plan. So this happens, and Saul asked Jonathan where David is, and he says he's back home with his family. He asked me, I let him go, and Saul freaks out, and that's where we are right here. So Saul boiled with rage at Jonathan. You stupid son of a whore.
Brother.
He swore at him. Do you think I don't know that you want me to be that
you
do you
him.
Think I don't know that you want him to be king in your place? Shaming yourself and your mother. As long as that son of Jesse is alive, you'll never be king. Now go and get him so I can kill him. But why should he be put to death? Jonathan asked his father. What has he done? Then Saul hurled his spear at Jonathan, intending to kill him. So at last, Jonathan realized that his father was really determined to kill David.
Wow.
I watched this show. A friend of mine showed it to me. And it was this lion, and he was by himself. And the lion was kind of walking across the Sahara, wherever it was. I don't even know where it was. But a pack of hyenas came around the lion. And the lion was trying to defend itself, and it was not able to defend itself. And so the hyenas more and more started showing up, and they were attacking this lion. And you could just see it. I mean, the lion was like frothing at the mouth, and he had this panic look in his eyes. He knew it was game over. And all of a sudden, just when they started biting and they were really kind of closing in, you see off in the distance his buddy. And the other lion comes. And as soon as the other lion shows up, the pack of hyenas take off running because they know that two are better than one.
So good.
And so this last point is stand up. Stand up for those around you. We're in a culture right now where all we want to do is point out each other's faults. And Jonathan had an opportunity here. By the way, this was a very strategic opportunity.
Yeah.
He could have told his dad where David was hiding. He could have changed everything. But because he was in that covenant relationship, he chose relationship, and relationship is about being faithful.
Yes.
That he stood up. Look it. When the devil, the accuser, brings an accusation against us, Jesus' blood speaks a better word.
Preach it.
That his blood stands up for us and says, no, that's my son and daughter.
Amen.
Step off. Back away.
Yes.
As Jonathan gets a spear hurled at him and he stands up for David, this is what Jesus' picture is of us. He stands up against the accuser and declares who we are.
Wow.
Stand up for each other. Take each other's back. Stand up for one another. When others accuse, you step in. Look what Jesus says. Or look what Romans. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Amen. Who dare accuses us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself, then who can condemn us? Nobody. Jesus died for us and was raised to life, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Proverbs 17:9 says, love prospers when a fault is forgiven.
Wow.
So when you're in covenant, when you're in relationship, when you're in church, when you're in community, and by the way, that verse that I read before where it talks about if two or three of you agree, right before that, it talks about how to deal with faults.
Yes.
How to deal with not faults, but offenses. And those offenses are not just, oh, you wore a white shirt and I hate white shirts. We're talking about literal things that separate brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
We have to work that out for the sake of what God has for us. By the way, that's what my wife and I do. First of all, the threefold cord is not easily, everything starts with God. So in this covenant, you are working yourself with God, and I am working myself with God, and then we work this out together. So, but why? Why do we do it?
Yes.
Because we are better together.
Yes.
The mission is always the why. The mission is people.
So
the mission is to reach people. The mission is our children. The mission is what God wants to do for us. So so we have to work it out.
So
we stand against the enemy for one another in prayer. I got your back.
Yes.
I'm praying for you. I'm going to stand with you. What do you need? I'm here. I'm in covenant relationship with you.
So good.
The second one is to stand against temptation in confession. And I think this is so important that we in relationship, we find those people that God is putting us together with, and we stand in covenant relationship through confession.
That's right.
That we share our faults with one another. What does James say? So that we might be healed.
Mm-hmm.
When there's covenant,
yes.
there's power.
Mm. So good.
I'm going to share my fault with you, but that's not something that you use against me because
exposed.
We are in this relationship
right.
together. You use that to stand with me against the enemy who wants to come into a weak area in my life.
Good.
And we're all afraid to share with one another because we've been hurt in this process. But I just want to talk about both sides.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on the side receiving someone who's confessing something to you, you just need to know that this is an opportunity for you to act like God.
Yeah.
Be an imitator as a dearly loved children. Right?
Yeah.
So how does God respond when we blow it? Adam and Eve in the garden. He leans into relationship.
Yes.
This is typically, oh gosh, you have that problem?
Yeah.
You got
so
cooties. And then you go over here like, did you hear about their cooties? They got mega cooties. But I lean into relationship.
Yes.
I don't share it.
You cover it.
I don't talk about it.
That's right.
I cover it.
Mm.
And I find ways to stand with you so that you can become victorious. Because here's the thing. Mm. I'm going to need it.
Yes. Yes.
Which leads me
wow.
to my last thing is stand. Or, well, actually, I got a couple of things. But stand against offense. Keep short records of wrong.
Mm.
I love my wife and I. We were in the car driving home, and it was, you know, there's it's amazing when you're on an 18-hour drive how stuff can irritate.
It stretches. Yeah,
and
it stretches.
And you know, we got into this little kind of moment. I'm gonna call it a little moment.
Okay, call it a moment.
Yeah, we actually had to step outside the car.
Mm-hmm.
It was that blessing. Actually, she told me we're stepping outside the car.
Oh, that is a moment.
And so we're outside the car and we're talking it out. But what I love about the commitment of my wife and stand against offenses is very soon after that.
Mm.
I mean, holding hands, talking to each other.
So good.
Hey, I got you. I'm sorry that I said it that way. Would you please forgive me?
Mm.
And I think recognizing that you don't have to understand it all.
Wow.
But just acknowledging, hey, I acknowledge that that hurt you. And I don't have to try to defend myself in it. It hurt you. So I just need you to forgive me.
Mm.
And when we take a stand against offense, and I just want to say this in the community, there are things that are going to be changing. There are stuff that's going to happen. There are things that are going to be taking place. But if God calls you to be a part of a community, you got to think of it as a covenant.
Yeah.
A covenant of faithfulness. That I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to stay faithful.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay faithful in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That just because you have issues or there's tension, we work it out for the sake of what God has called us to do because two are better than one.
And it's not just a working out of trying to do it in your own strength. Because clearly you said this and you said it several times throughout this message is God is one who equips you to work it out. If we have the Holy Spirit, we have the patience, we have the self-control, we have all these fruits working towards our benefit that can assist us because it's rough. In that moment between you and your wife, every rage in you is ready. You're ready to go at it. I know what arguments look like.
I was flawless.
I know. But because of the Holy Spirit at work in us, then we engage patience to listen. I engage love to know that, hey, listen, you're not against me. We're just having an issue, but I need to love you beyond whatever it is that's going on between us.
Yeah.
And so that's what it means when God says, hey, I'm equipping you. I'm helping you in this process. That's why it has to be him first and then us.
Yeah.
Because him allows us to work it out.
Yeah. Thank you, Foster. I'm so glad you're here. You're like my little blankie.
Yes, right.
In this big empty room. I end with this Galatians chapter 6, and I don't think they have it up there, but it says this. It talks about this, whatever you sow, you will reap. And what I love about this story of Jonathan and David is Jonathan sowed faithfulness that when he died in battle and David became king, David sought out his son Mephibosheth.
Yeah.
And brought him to his table and blessed him and made him his own son.
Yes.
And I think it's important to remember that as we remain faithful, God, that faithfulness is actually multi-generational.
Yes, sir.
When we remain faithful, it goes on for our children's children. That God is a faithful God. And he sees faithfulness because, remember, faithfulness is the language of God.
Yes.
So when he sees faithfulness, he stands up.
Yes.
Because that's his love language.
Scripture says he blesses it.
And he begins to move on our children's behalf.
Good.
And so it may feel like in that moment that, like, what am I doing? But you got to remember that you're communicating that language of faithfulness that actually provides a stepping stool for your children to walk in blessing.
So good.
In conclusion, Jesus makes this commitment to his disciples. He says, freely you have received, now freely give. We can only give what we've received.
So good.
And I think for all of us that we've all been raised in a generation of faithlessness, brokenness, that if it doesn't suit me, I move on to the next and to the next, and I'm always looking for something else. Yeah. And maybe you've modeled that because it was modeled to you. But the beautiful thing about God is that he doesn't depend on his faithfulness on us. He already is.
Yeah.
And so today, as we approach the throne of heaven, it says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children.
So good.
So as we acknowledge Jesus, as we say yes to Jesus, we get to experience his faithfulness in our life.
Yeah.
Even when we mess up, he stays faithful.
Wow.
And because of that faithfulness, we are then in turn able to represent that.
Wow.
So here's the question, is where is that brokenness taking place? If we're always moving to the next thing and we're always positioning ourselves for what's next and not staying faithful where God calls us to be faithful,
that's right.
Then that means that I'm still allowing my earthly parents or what I've been raised in, the unfaithfulness to influence me. Because he says, be an imitator of God as dearly loved children.
Yes.
So what is influencing me towards unfaithfulness, I need to recognize, allow the Holy Spirit to heal it, so that my Father is now demonstrating faithfulness so that it can come through me.
That's so good.
So that I can show others what faithfulness looks like. So I just want to say to you, listen, if you've been on the receiving end of brokenness and people haven't been faithful to you and you're like, yeah, I've tried and I've done this and you don't know the pain that it's caused, I just first of all want to tell you that your Heavenly Father wants to demonstrate to you what faithfulness looks like.
Yeah.
And he says, when you come to me, I am the one who gives you blessing upon blessing and favor upon favor. And so I think it's an important to come at this end, Fawcett, and just recognize, where do I need to release forgiveness and where do I need forgiveness so that I can begin to walk out what my Heavenly Father is doing for me to others.
Wow. So
I want to pray for us this morning. Would you just close your eyes and don't jump up from this moment and now move on to something else. But
thank you, Jesus.
But I want to break patterns in our life. Because the Bible talks about where there's covenant, there's blessing. But by the way, we can't just start with people. We have to first start with God. And let him heal the broken areas so that we can enter into faithful relationship with people. And if we so easily go from relationship to relationship, then that means that that something else besides God is influencing us, and we need to recognize it. So Holy Spirit, I just pray for the broken areas of our heart to be mended by your love, your faithful love right now. And so, Lord, I pray that God, whether it be generational or people have accused or turned their back on when we thought that they had us, Lord, that we would recognize first and foremost who you are in our life, that you are the faithful one. The Bible says you have no turning. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever towards us.
Yes,
just receive that right now, will you?
Yes.
The love of the Father, and release forgiveness towards those who have hurt you, that have broken faithfulness to you, so that doesn't continue to bear fruit in your life, but let God's faithfulness grow roots inside of you so that you can step into faithfulness towards others.
Thank you, Jesus.
So come, Holy Spirit. Come right now in the house, in the home, in the car, on the iPhone, the iPad, the big screen, the computer. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring health and healing to us. Jesus. Let's enter into this worship song as we allow the Holy Spirit to bring healing to our hearts now.